Well, thank you, and let me begin. I want to be very clear about a couple of things. You know, there's a lot of language out there about opening up the economy, and a lot of that's directed at what we've done. But what I want to be very clear about, and what I'm frankly a little bit annoyed about, is that we never closed the economy. What we did was we put some restrictions in place for public safety, but we allowed people to continue working. I have spent the last several weeks talking to coal miners, talking to coal mining companies, talking to uranium miners, to trona miners, to oil and gas workers, to our sawyers, to our ranchers, and to our businesses around the state. And what I will say is that we have done our best to make sure that our economy continues to be strong as it can be under these circumstances. Now, there are some industries, and we'll talk about those today, where we feel we've reached a point where we can relax some of the considerations that we had in place. But I want to be very clear. Our economy is tied to the national economy and to the global economy. And in both of those cases, the national and the global economy, there has been a massive hit to our economy. So our world, our country, absolutely has to get back to work. Wyoming has been working, will continue to work, and it is important that we see that demand return so that we can see the coal miners that were laid off because of demand destruction put back to work, that we can see the people who mine the trona that is so important for our auto industry glass, for our other glasses, be able to come back to 100% capacity. These are critical endeavors, but what I will say, in each of these cases, over the last several weeks, there has been a phenomenal, in fact, just talking to Holly Frontier the other day, they have gone for 60 days without a major either labor injury or environmental issue. People, Wyoming workers, are working better, working harder in this time. And I want to thank them from the bottom of my heart because you have made Wyoming one of the top four states poised to lead this nation back to recovery. So today I wanted to provide you with a brief update about the first steps we'll be taking in easing our public health orders. We will be providing daily updates this week to answer questions that will arise as we implement this easing of restrictions. I signaled that last week, and as one can expect, anytime you mention something, there's a number of questions that come back. So we're going to provide a number of resources and ways to answer your questions over the coming days so that on May 1st, you will see the easing go in place. And there'll be a terrific amount of information you'll have beforehand. But I will say that today I'm going to shorten the question and answer portion of today's conference. And just to start, let me say we have 396 confirmed positive cases and 140 probable COVID-19 cases in Wyoming. Our rate of positive COVID-19 case out of all the tests performed around the state remains around 4 to 5%. We currently have 12 hospitalized COVID-19 patients. While I wish none of those patients were in hospital, we're doing pretty well. And I want to thank Dr. Harris for her work. And it is not easy work. We obviously have areas of concern in Fremont County where, sadly, last week we saw a big spike. And that spike particularly happens on the Wind River Indian Reservation with a community spread of several in our state counties. While we currently have sufficient ICU and ventilator capacity, and I want to thank Director Budd and the Department of Health for their work, as well as others, in making sure we have accurate data. I want to thank the hospitals for also providing better data over the weeks as we've refined those data. But I want to make sure that people understand it would take only one large cluster of cases in an assisted living facility, for example, to create a surge that could put a strain on any one of our healthcare facilities. As it stands right now, our COVID-19 dashboard is unchanged from last week. And you'll remember that it had those criteria that we would say is concerning, stabilized, or improving. We have reached the high point through social distancing measures that have been in place for almost 6 weeks. And while we have kept the vast majority of our businesses open, I want to remind people once again that we did not issue a shelter in place. And actually on Friday, Colorado is planning to parrot basically where we are today. So we are ahead of many of our neighbors. I recognize that tough decisions have been made that require sacrifice and cause pain. But it is important not to jeopardize the progress we have made, and therefore we will continue to take a methodical, measured approach moving forward as we see progress. And this is consistent with what President Trump has offered. As we see progress, we can continue to move forward. On Thursday, the current health orders we have in place will expire. These orders will be replaced with updated orders that we have released earlier today. These updates were developed with the goal of easing restrictions while still protecting our citizens and hopefully preventing clusters of new cases of COVID-19. And I will let Dr. Harris speak to those, but I do want to say exactly the same thing that others have said. This is a campaign, a struggle against a virus, an insidious and invisible enemy. We do not want to surrender any of the ground that we gained. We recognize that there are particular industries, like the restaurant industry, that is awaiting guidance on being able to provide table service in their establishments. And we're working very closely with them. I had a conversation yesterday with them to talk about the ways that we can start to ease those restrictions as well, and understanding the requirements of hiring back people that they have had to put on hold or furlough. We hope to be able to issue clear guidelines to them soon to provide some flexibility, particularly for smaller establishments, and particularly in special locations. Customers will now be allowed inside restaurants to pick up to-go orders, and I have to say, my wife and I and many others around the state have been continually going to restaurants and making sure that we get order out to keep those restaurants in business. My wife and I have both gotten virtual haircuts. A virtual haircut is where I send a check to the person I used to get my hair cut by, where she used to get her nails done. And we want to make sure that these industries know that we want them back. I want to recognize that we are taking a conservative approach, and I've had some people say, gosh, you know, you're being awfully conservative about this. But I want to say for our tourism industry and for people wanting to come to Wyoming, they want to come to a place where we know you can be safe and you can have a good experience here in Wyoming. I am certain of one thing, that if we get this wrong, it is going to be devastating, more devastating to Wyoming, and we will lose that ground that we have taken against this terrible virus. I'm going to invite Dr. Harris to speak for a few minutes to talk about how these guidelines were developed and what they mean. Dr. Harris, thank you.
Thank you, Governor Gordon. We must make thoughtful and measured choices as we continue navigating our way through this pandemic. If we aren't purposeful, we could face a potentially worse situation in Wyoming for both health and economic impacts. I want us to move forward, but safely. That means taking one step at a time to allow us the opportunity to continually check on how things are going before we take the next step. Our first steps forward must be smaller steps that involve lower risk and fewer people. Unfortunately, it is too soon for us to be ready for giant leaps. I believe our actions and the public response to those actions have helped protect our citizens by preventing the disease from overwhelming us. But we need more time to see how this disease may progress overall and how each of our moves forward will affect Wyoming. First, allow me to review the statewide public health orders that will be in effect as of May 1st and explain my reasoning behind the changes we made. We know that gatherings of many people who are in close contact with each other carry a risk of spreading the virus to many people at one time. The orders will continue to prevent such gatherings. However, we will ease restrictions on businesses where people don't specifically come together. These businesses may involve contact with others, but involve a limited number of people, and precautions such as face coverings can be used to limit the possibility of virus spread. As we move forward in this process, and as the data tells us that we can, future steps will involve easing restrictions on places where people gather and gatherings in a thoughtful and measured way. We are continuing statewide public health order number 1 through May 15th. This order involves closing and restricting bars, restaurants, theaters, gymnasiums, childcare facilities, schools, colleges, and trade schools. But we are making 3 key adjustments. Gymnasiums will be able to open in a limited capacity. Up to 5 customers at a time may enter a restaurant to pick up orders with appropriate social distancing. Childcare facilities will still need to operate with limited numbers of children, but can open services to more parents. Statewide public health order number 2, which prohibits gatherings of 10 people, or up to 10 people, which prohibits gatherings of more than 10 people, will continue through May 15th. Statewide public health order number 3 is where we will see the biggest change. While the order is extended through May 15th, limited reopenings of nail salons, hair salons, barbershops, cosmetology, electrology, and aesthetic services, massage therapy services, tattoo, body art, and piercing shops will be allowed with some common sense precautions. Some people will wonder why we are starting with these changes when they do involve close contact between people. It is true that you can't cut someone's hair from less than a 6-foot distance, but you can take precautions to help keep customers apart, to reduce their risk, and to make the interaction between customers and clients more safe. These businesses can also be managed to ensure fewer people are together at one time. Fewer people together means less risk of spreading the illness. With these statewide public health orders, we are setting the baseline for where we believe most of Wyoming should be right now. Countywide variance orders, different than our statewide orders, may be requested by county health officers after working with people within their counties and with county data in mind. Variances are essentially countywide replacement orders that may be less restrictive or more restrictive than the current statewide orders, depending on the specific situation in that county. A guidance document has been sent to county officials outlining the process for obtaining a variance order. County health officers also have a role in implementing the 3 statewide orders and requesting exceptions. That has been an option all along, largely because it is difficult to cover everything within the orders. Exceptions may cover individual businesses and specific activities. There's a process for businesses and organizations seeking exemptions to follow, involving plans to reduce risk of illness, the county situation, and support and state approval. That process is also in the guidance document sent to county officials. With both countywide variance orders and potential exemptions, a thoughtful and measured approach from counties is what we hope for. We have been sharing data with counties all along to help inform these decisions. That thoughtful and measured approach means looking at the data, and that's what we do every day. At last week's press conference, you saw the metrics we reviewed to help make these decisions. As an example with more detail, let me explain a little bit about the rate of positive results as compared to overall testing. When the percentage of positive results is low, that's a good thing because it tells us we're testing a lot more people than actually have COVID-19 and can give us an indication of how much COVID-19 is in our communities. We want that percentage to stay the same or go lower, while at the same time increasing the number of people with compatible symptoms that we are testing. We know for all of these metrics that we are going to see some variations over short time periods. So we have to look over longer time periods to understand what's truly happening. And we also have to look at the big picture. We did see an increased number of cases reported over the last several days, and we have to consider that in the context of all the other data that we're reviewing. As we move forward on our path, it's become clear that cloth face coverings will play a critical role. They are included in some portions of the updated orders. I know the advice that you've heard from both national leaders and from us has changed during the last several weeks as we've learned more about how this virus spreads. Using the coverings can help slow the spread of the virus and help people who may have the virus and don't know it from transmitting it to others. If you wear a face covering and you have the virus but are asymptomatic or not sick yet, that face covering can help prevent you from giving the virus to somebody else who could get severely ill. So when should you wear these face coverings? You should wear face coverings in public settings where other social distancing measures are difficult to maintain. That means grocery stores, pharmacies, other types of retail stores, and for specific settings such as the personal services covered by the statewide public health order we're updating. In these settings, people should still try to maintain 6 feet apart from each other if possible, but we know that it's not always possible. You don't have to wear a face covering when you're driving a car by yourself or with your household members or when you're walking your dog or exercising outside. Face coverings aren't complicated and they aren't medical masks. They can be any cloth item that covers your nose and your mouth. CDC's website shows how they can be sewn, how they can be made from an old t-shirt with some scissors, and how they can be made from bandanas and elastics. If everybody wears face coverings in the settings I discussed, that will help all of us be more successful in reducing transmission and allowing us to maintain these eased restrictions. We may be starting on our path forward, but we all need to understand that social distancing remains critical. We are still in the midst of a pandemic and unfortunately will be for a while. Remember, this is a new disease, so still, almost anyone can get sick with COVID-19, anyone has a chance for serious illness, and anyone who is infected can pass COVID-19 onto others. I am hopeful, though, that we are indeed now on a forward path. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you, Dr. Harrison, for business owners and employees with questions about the modified orders, let me say the Wyoming Business Council will be holding a series of webinars to provide additional information and clarification. That is indeed our effort this entire remainder of the week, is to provide answers to your questions, more information and clarification. And to register, you can visit wyomingbusiness.org/transition. Let me reiterate that we are opening barbershops and beauty salons, massage therapists, and the others that Dr. Harris spoke about with the requirements that are there. It's high time that we do. And I'm very anxious that we get those businesses back and going. We are working on restaurants and other orders. Lastly, just to say and make clear that we have the ability for variances or exceptions in particular cases. Now, I do want to make it also clear that we do not anticipate that people are going to rush, because we are going to do this in a methodical and thoughtful way. Again, as I said, we do not want to lose any of the ground we've gained. We don't want to go backwards. Anybody who has been trying to process a hog over the last couple of weeks has known what has happened with Smithfield or JBS. We've seen it in the cattle industry and other things. My wife just spent the better part of a day trying to figure out how to get 3 hogs butchered, and the kill dates were off into July. So the fact that we need to bring this economy back steadily on a proper pattern in a way that makes sure that we don't end up risking the gains that we've made is absolutely essential. It's essential for our oil and gas industry. It's essential for our ag industry. And most especially, it's essential for our tourism industry. And I want to take just a second to talk about the work that I have done over the last couple weeks in talking to Governor Bullock of Montana and Governor Little, talking about Yellowstone and how it'll open, and in coming days we'll talk a little bit more about that. But I also have been working diligently with Governor Noem of South Dakota, Governor Ricketts, and Governor Herbert, other governors, Republican and Democrat, to make sure that we bring this economy back. Just yesterday, on a call with President Trump, I was able to assure him, Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, Wyoming stands ready to lead this nation back. We're a thoughtful people that don't need to have regulations. We need to have the opportunity to do what we know how to do right, and that is the right thing, right away, and in the right way. Finally, I want to talk briefly about schools. We have extended the closure of school buildings to students, with the exception of those with greatest needs, until May 15th to protect the health and safety of those communities experiencing community spread of COVID-19. However, I have provided greater flexibility in this order for school districts to work with their county health officers on possible exceptions to those closure orders to provide in-person instruction for students so long as proper social distancing, hygiene, and enhanced sanitation are practiced, following guidelines from the CDC and the Wyoming Department of Health. Any school district interested in seeking a variance to the order must work with their county health officer and the Department of Education to develop a plan with clear protocols before they will be considered for bringing all students back into the buildings. Let me stress again, clear protocols developed by each school district and approved by the county and state health officers, then those must be in place in order to reopen the buildings this spring, this summer, and this fall. So it is important we get working on this, because COVID isn't going away. We're going to have to get, as I've said before, multiple times, our head in the game and understand how we defeat this virus every day, one day at a time. Guidance for educational institutions is available at the Department of Health website, and we will continue to take a measured approach as we recognize there will be additional questions. This is a work in progress. I've mentioned it before. We're building this plane while we're flying it, and we will continue to make adjustments to our orders as conditions permit. So I thank you very much today. I have a couple of questions. As I said, we're going to keep the questions at a fairly small volume today. From Andrew Graham at Wildfire, lawmakers have discussed legislation to indemnify employers from both customers and employees who get sick in a place of business. At the same time, law enforcement groups have sought changes that would stipulate that if a first responder contracts COVID-19, it would be assumed that she or he became infected as a result of work and therefore should be covered by workers' comp. What do you believe is the appropriate role of the state in these situations? Andrew, that's a good question. It's one that will be debated by the legislature. I have not seen the pieces of legislation that might be considered, and I will reserve my judgment until I see what those are. There is a question coming in online. Whoever's on the phone. I hear a voice.
Governor?
Yes.
Governor Jim Riley, Bigfoot 99 Radio.
Yes, Jim.
Two questions. One, do you have any guidance for churches and places of worship? And also, two, can you address the situation with the quarantine for out-of-state visitors? Is that still in place? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jim. On the second item, we'll have some... that item we are reviewing currently, and we'll have some information on that going forward. For your neck of the woods, as you know, we need to coordinate that carefully with Colorado. just to make sure that Wyoming isn't overrun. So we'll continue to inform you on that, and probably have news this week on that. As far as churches are concerned, Dr. Harris, do you want to speak to that? There is some news on that front.
Thank you. So, as you've all seen the orders, there's nothing specifically addressing churches or other places of worship, although certainly the order number 2, which limits gatherings to less than 10, does apply to all types of situations, including religious gatherings. There are certainly part of this process is the county exemption and countywide variance process. The county exemption process has been in place for the entire period that these orders have been signed, and then this countywide variance addition is new and gives some potential options there. Certainly, we've seen churches and other places of worship be creative in being able to hold services through various means during this time in ways that are very effective at protecting the public health, including virtual services as well as parking lot services, other ways in which large numbers of people are not getting together in close contact. As I said before, it's still a concern. Having large numbers of people together in one place, having close contact with each other, is unfortunately a very good way to spread this virus. And so we need to be extremely cautious before taking steps to do that.
And Jim, let me just follow that up with, we've been in communication on a periodic basis with faith leaders around the state. I have to say they are a wonderful group of people, all of whom take the safety of their parishes and their congregations absolutely to heart. We started this order with the expectation that people in Wyoming would take responsibility for their actions. We didn't have to issue a shelter in place. And, we continue to convey that same sense of responsibility to our faith leaders to make sure they don't put their congregations in any kind of peril. But the variances and the exceptions that Dr. Harris talked about, we did not specifically, it is not, there's a church-state separation. We did not separate out anything specifically with churches.
Thank you, Governor.
Thank you.
Next. Governor Gordon, this is Mark Bentley at 307 Net Radio in Buffalo.
Yes, Mark, can you hear your voice?
Thank you, sir. The Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation at the University of Washington Medical School has placed the earliest date after which relaxing and social distancing possible with containment strategies for Wyoming, May 25th to 31st. How is this new order or the set of orders reconciled with that?
Well, I can speak very briefly to that, and then I'm going to let Dr. Harris talk to it. The University of Washington Health Site has changed their methodology and their data somewhat remarkably over the last few weeks, and so it's helpful, and all predictions are helpful. Is it going to be snowing tomorrow or not? There's a sense of that, but I have to say that recently, some of the changes they've made have not really made a tremendous amount of sense to me. I'm not arguing that their model is incorrect or wrong. I'm just saying it's a model, and a lot of it depends on the assumptions and the methodologies. We found some weaknesses in it. I know North Dakota's found some weaknesses in it as well. I'll leave it at that, and then let Dr. Harris talk about it after I made a mash of things.
No, Governor. I think what you said, that they are based on assumptions and are based on, you know, the data that go into those models, and that, as I've spoken about before, they are certainly useful for some things, including for being prepared. But I think more valuable than those models is our own data. Again, the data that we use, that we're tracking every day, that we're posting on our website, that we're using to guide us in our decisions. And certainly we will be keeping close track of that data going forward, as we have been, to let us know if this was the right decision or if it wasn't, and if we can move forward after this.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mark. Another question?
Hey, Governor Gordon, this is Seth from the Star Tribune. Curious if you guys can talk a little bit more about enforcement on the new restrictions for the businesses that will be loosened up, how those restrictions will be enforced. Thanks.
Seth, I think the enforcement mechanisms are pretty much the same as they have been. And what I will say is, you know, this is sort of a self-reinforcing kind of deal. Governor Rickett and I were talking about people that are opening their businesses. The last thing they want to do is to put themselves at risk. In fact, when I was talking to the Restaurant Association yesterday, one of their board members was saying, you know, we understand the risk of doing this incorrectly, so we are going to be squeaky clean about how we open up these businesses, how this goes forward. And so there probably is some value in the same enforcement mechanisms we've had. But we have business owners that want to get back to work. They want to do their job. They know this is a new environment. They know that this is the way to keep their customers and make their customers happy. And so I'm very optimistic about what this means. It's kind of taking the foot off the brake, and we'll be able to get these businesses up, practicing, and going again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question. Two more questions.
Governor Ryan Robertson with Wyoming News Now. I apologize if you've answered this already. We've had a lot of folks asking about overnight camping at state parks. Can you speak a little bit about when folks can be expected to go enjoy our great outdoors overnight?
Yeah, thank you for that question. It's about overnight camping and you know, when are we going to ease those? As I said, we'll have advice on that later this week. We're kind of looking at that process. Part of it, and this is, let me be kind of clear about this. You know, we're a large state. We are partnered on the north by Montana, on the west by Idaho and Utah, on the south by Utah and Colorado, on the east by Nebraska and South Dakota. And each of the relationships that we have with those states, is different. And so, We're trying to figure out how to manage this process in a way that we can open up Yellowstone Park, for example, without imperiling their facilities, making sure that Cody has a good start on the season. We want to make sure down here in Jim O'Reilly's kind of neck of the woods that by lifting these orders too quickly, we don't, end up with a tremendous horde of people from Colorado where things are still closed, wanting to come up and find another place. We do encourage people, and people have been getting out, outdoors, and so we'd like to see more of that. I got to tell you, I'm very anxious to get that overnight camping up and going. So we're pushing that effort every moment of the day. Last question.
Governor Gordon, this is Isabella with the Wyoming Tribune Eagle. So speaking on the order limiting public gatherings, I know there's a lot of venues kind of trying to plan for the summer, and I know the current order is extended through May 15th. Do you know if that order is going to be extended again, or kind of how it looks for public gatherings over 10 people?
I'll let Dr. Harris sort of make sure that I don't misquote her, but you know, part of this is, and if you look at the way President Trump's Open Up America plan was scheduled, if you look at the way Governor Bullock is looking at his plan, if you look at the way Governor Ricketts is looking at his, or Governor Little, or Governor Herbert, there's a time interval when you open something and take a look at it. So, Dr. Harris, go take a shot.
Thanks, Governor. But yes, that's exactly right. You know, we need to take one step at a time, which we've done as of Friday, and then, you know, take the time to look at the data and understand those effects before we take the next step. So certainly any future dates, any future actions will be dependent on that data. Again, I would just urge caution in those large gatherings, you know, where, again, people are in close contact as a way that the virus can spread easily, and something we need to be very cautious about, but do have to make decisions based on the data that we're seeing over the last several weeks.
Thank you.
Thank you, and again, thank you very much for being here today. We'll see you tomorrow. Dr. Harris, thanks again for your information, and thank you all for tuning in and all you do to make this state sing and go forward. Thanks again.